You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The five-seeded Philadelphia 76ers headed into Indiana on Monday to take on the six-seeded Pacers, looking to avenge their 18-point loss on New Year's Eve. Philly got off to a strong start, leading by 9 at the half and holding the Pacers just 40 first-half points. But a 61-point second half by the Pacers proved to be just too much for this Philadelphia team. Malcolm Brogdon finished the game with a team-high 21 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds. That included a huge 3 to tie the game, a huge 2 to take the lead, and then 2 big free throws to seal the game for the Pacers. TJ Warren contributed 21 points as well, tying Brogdon with the team lead. And Justin Holiday off the bench continued his 3-point dominance, going 4 of 6 from 3 for 14 points. For Philadelphia, Ben Simmons led the way with 24 points and 14 rebounds. Josh Richardson was not far behind with 23 points of his own, but all of that was not enough as the Pacers beat the Sixers 101-95 and move into the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the host of this wonderful show. So on today's podcast, like all these postgame, I'm bringing the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Pacers win against the 76ers. And then, just for fun, I have a segment on the rotation, and really it comes down to Justin Holiday, Doug McDermott, who should play minutes, maybe starting some stuff, who knows. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash for your wallet. Between the end of the football season, the NBA, and the start of college basketball now, it's time to get off the sideline and get into the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little, to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they can let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Let's say, for example, you want to bet, let's go to the football games real fast. You want to bet Chiefs at home, and I'm assuming the 49ers are favored. That might be a nice bet to make. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000 right now, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. So the Pacers defeat the 76ers 101-95. So the good, the bad, and the ugly. Of course, I've been saying every time the Pacers win a game, there's a lot more good than bad and ugly, obviously. And the good to start with is Malcolm Brogdon, the 27-year-old guard out of Virginia, returned from, I believe, a 9-game absence to score 21 points. Not the most efficient night for him, only five of 15, but a couple of hugely clutch buckets. I think I correct myself from the open segment. He only went 1 of 2 at the line on that free throw, missing just one of, you know, I think he took 3 or 4 for this end of the game and made 3 of them. But again, just clutch at the end of this game. Continues to be just their best distributor. He had 9 assists. He just sees the floor so well for this team, and it's just so good at finding guys cutting and just doing a little everything right. You know, I think as we get close to when we see a deeper return, we'll see Brad's offensive efficient numbers increase. I think he won't be a 5 of 15. He won't be, have to take such tough shots, but they definitely need his clutch play tonight. That was huge. You could see they were missing it for a while. I mean, you just feel that they needed that especially. So that was huge for the Pacers tonight. I thought he was kind of, despite, you know, like I said, not having the most efficient offensive game, I thought he was the best player on the night because of all the assists and just the clutch play. Another good, who I think probably comes in second for the best player tonight, would be TJ Warren. 8 of 13, 21 points. You know, I know this wasn't like a 30-point game against Philly, but just a super, super offensively efficient game against Philly. A huge clutch, too, at the end of the game as well. He just continues to be dominant against Philly. I mean, I know this wasn't a 30-point performance like he had last time, but it's just – he just kind of owned Philadelphia. And he just – to me, he – when the Pacers need a bucket, you know, I know Brogdon had a couple, like I said, big clutch ones, but when they just need a bucket in like a weird moment, Warren seems the guy to go to and can figure it out. I mean, whether, you know, he's clearing space with that shoulder to get a little flutter action, whatever it is, a quick jump shot too, whatever it is, he just seems to be able to find points when he needs to for the team. So that is huge for this Pacer team. The first kind of bad I'll go to, and this is really ugly. I mean, that first half was god awful. I mean, the Pacers could not hit anything. It felt like, you know, I felt like we were heading into the game with Pacers maybe score 75 points. I mean, it was just a poor, poor first half. But we've seen this before. I think the Hornets game, they played also a really bad first half offensively, and just they figured it out. And I don't know whether it's adjustments, whether it's just the team shooting through a cold streak. I mean, we see a couple of these now. I mean, we used to see a lot of these bad Pacer quarters, you know, last season. I don't know if this is something that's popping up now, whether it's mid-season slump or whatever, you know, the dog days. I call them the dog days of winter in basketball. Whatever it is, they seem to be able to power through it, fortunate enough. But it is concerning to see these kind of like dud quarters, because I think, you know, Philly is a good basketball team without Embiid. They're, I don't think they're one of the best seven teams. I think Nets are actually ahead of them if Embiid's not playing. So beating this team is certainly good, and good for the record, good for the standards, all that stuff. But it should not be mistaken that this team without Embiid is a great team, right? This is a good win, not a great win. Like I said, they beat Philly twice without Embiid, and that's kind of where, I don't know if I call that a bad or ugly or whatever. Good for the Pacers, help them win the season series, helps them gain ground. They're now the five seed. Obviously, that's hugely important. But I don't know if you like get all excited about beating Philly twice without their best player, right? I think it's, but again, you can say the same thing for the Pacers. So maybe that's the counter argument, and it's okay. And maybe even beat it, and all people counter each other out when they return. But that's just food for thought right there. Back to some good Justin Holiday. So I believe coming into this game in the last, I believe his last eight games, he was shooting 60% or I think 60% from three. He went 66% from three tonight on a 4 of 6 shooting. He had 14 points. Yeah, I mean, I'll talk more about him later in the end segment, but he is making a real case. I mean, on this at least a little hot streak he's on right now, making a real, real case that he definitely needs to be the rotation minutes, and maybe is right now, honestly, being their sixth man on this team. Another ugly, I thought the way Simmons was kind of able to abuse this team with three offensive rebounds and just, you know, I know he's their best player without Embiid, but it is scary to watch, in my opinion. You know, when you watch a guy like Simmons who can just get like 24 points without shooting the ball, basically, it's scary to know when they put that together with him, with Embiid's return, what that's gonna be like. I'm glad they beat them, but Simmons is still a scary player and had a really good night, and I think they just don't have an answer for him. I mean, they can put Brogdon on a little bit, they can maybe put Lamb on at times and whatnot, and maybe Justin Holiday is, but they just don't have an answer for Simmons, and that's concerning going forward. Something to watch, I guess. I mean, at this rate, they're not going to play Philly if they were to play him in a playoff series to like the East Conference Finals. So I don't think that's maybe a huge concern. But I will say Philly could go on a run here and hop into like the 3 seasons. Could be the 3-6 matchup, maybe, or a 4-5 matchup, very, very simply. But I guess 4-5 is probably more likely. But just something to kind of watch and be concerned about. Another good is the Pacers. I don't know if I want to call it 3-point defense, whether it was the Pacers did such a good job or Philly just stunk tonight. But Philly was 6 of 33 from three. That's 18.2%. Counting out the Pacers, 10 of 26 from three, that's about 39%. So significantly better 3-point percentage, and that's where they won this game, was on the 3-point line pretty much. You know, the Pacers had slightly more free throws for sure, but actually took less overall shots. Pacers had about even on rebounds. They actually lost the defensive rebounding battle by about two or three rebounds, but made up for one on the offensive. But the 3-point line is where they won this game. They shot, you know, 40% or 39% from three was huge in this game. Another kind of, I don't know if I called this bad, I would call it ugly. I guess I call it ugly, right? So Jeremy Lamb had a really just poor night. 2 of 8, 23 points. He only played 15 minutes against the Bulls the other night. He has been sort of in this, I don't know whether it's because they want to play Justin Holiday more and they want to play Aaron Holiday more, or what it is, or if, you know, I don't think he's being inched out of the rotation for sure. I don't know if it's injury where like they're concerned if they play him and he's going to get hurt or whatnot, but he just hasn't played well, right? 1 of 5 against the Bulls on Friday night. He's been, I don't want to say he's played terrible, but he's just kind of a no impact. You're right. You don't really notice him out there. You know, he's not really doing a ton. So, something to watch with him. I don't know if he's injured or whatnot. You know, I haven't seen anything on any of the kind of go-to guys for injuries on the Pacers Twitter sphere, but that's not a concern or anything. Nothing to look at. And I don't know if I call this bad. I certainly wouldn't call it good, but Aaron Holiday did not have a great game either. I mean, he didn't take a ton of shots. He played a decent amount of minutes, but he's very, very focused on more distributing. I feel like trying to find other guys. So, like, Aaron Holiday, I guess he had a pretty good last two games, but he's basically put up two duds in the last four games, and especially against Charlotte, that was a real dud. And I would say Miami wasn't even that great, even though he had 14 points. So, he's been kind of spotty as of late. But, again, you win a game like this, you can't really worry about that as much, in my opinion. You just sort of have to take it in stride and move on. Another thing to look at that I would, again, I don't know if I call this bad or I just call this concerning. Again, I may be getting out of this, but Sabonis had a really bad night. He had terms of offensive, right? He was 3 of 12 for 10 points. I know he had a ton of rebounds. He played 32 minutes, which is actually low for him. He plays 33 per game to 34 range. So something to watch with him, too, is how much that knee affects him. I don't know if, you know, it seems like to me, even though he had this bone bruise that he can't re-injure it, right? But, like, why play through? Why not let it heal? I don't really know. And maybe it is healed. I don't know what the wisdom behind it is. Maybe they think they really need him. I don't really know. I mean, I feel like he would want him just to get healthy, right? I mean, I think the Pacers are not, like, desperate to win games. I think they certainly want to win enough games to get to the 3-4 spot, which it's available now. It's certainly opening up and whatnot. So that's I get that. But, like, you want a healthy Sabonis when Oladipo returns. You want this team to be completely healthy. And it seems weird to me that they're, you know, seem to let him, want to put him to play through this bone bruise, whether maybe he wants to play through it or whatnot. The Pacers need to be better at saying, no, we're going to protect you from yourself. Especially in a game when Embiid doesn't play, it feels like just let it happen. You know, Turner's been playing well. Let's see what happens with that Embiid. The Pacers probably could still win this game if Turner maybe is playing the center and kind of not being guarded well. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe not, because Horford's a really good matchup for a really bad matchup for Turner, for example. But that's something to watch, too. Off the bench, McDermott didn't have a great night. 2 of 8 for 8 points as well. Something that I think was pretty good is they actually won their free throw battle. They took 31 free throws from 25 of 31. I know I said they won at the 3-point line, but they also won at the free throw line against Philadelphia. I thought that was really good. I don't know how many games this year they've actually won the free throw battle, but I'm going to guess they've won it. Let me phrase this right. They have lost their free throw battle more than they won it this year. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but I'm going to guess that from what I've seen. And somebody can fact check me later on that. So, but overall, I mean, I think this is one of the, you know, this wasn't the Pacers' best game of the year, certainly, but it was enough to win. It puts them in a really good spot, right? So right now they can't lose a tiebreaker to Philly now, which is perfect. If they tie, it puts them at the 5 seed, half a game back of the 4 seed in Toronto, puts them 2.5 back of Miami at the 3, and 3 back of Boston, who also, I think Boston won tonight as well. So it gives the Pacers a real shot to get up to that 3 seed, which I think, I mean, the 2 seed is like the golden goose, right? You get the 2 seed, you're guaranteed probably a first round series win, barring something crazy, but I think you'd settle for a 3 or a 4 right now. Even though, you know, if you're the 4 or 5 game, you're going to draw Milwaukee in the next round. I think you just want to win a first round series and then you worry about that later, right? I don't think you need, I mean, you have to play Milwaukee eventually anyways, right? So it's not like, you know, you're just putting off the inevitable, kind of like, what was it last year, Portland and Denver, right? You know, the Houston Warriors was the Eastern Conference Finals, and then it was inevitable that the Warriors would beat whoever they play next, either Denver. I think they beat Portland, obviously, in 4 games. So they were inevitably going to do that. So I think you just want to get a home court advantage, especially with the way teams are playing at home this year. I mean, we've done this before, but like the top of the East is so dominant at home. You know, Milwaukee 18-2, Boston 16-3, Miami 17-1, and Philly 18-2 at home. The only good, not like good home team per se, is Toronto, who's 14-7. That's still really good. So the key is to get those 4 games at home in that first round series, win a first round series, worry about the next round later. So, you know, that's the golden goose the Pacers are chasing, is probably the 2 seed, but settle for a 3-4 would be really nice for the Pacers. I'd love to hear what you guys thought was really good tonight, or was bad, or was ugly. Tweet at Lockdown Pacers to tell me that. You'll tweet at me at 3-5. Either of those will work to let me know what you thought was the good about ugly from tonight's game. I'll take one quick break, and I want to talk about Justin Holiday versus Doug McDermott. All right, welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. So I did this before, but so Tony and I talked about this on yesterday's show. You know, we both think, right, when Oladipo returns, the 7 locks are the 5 starters plus Lamb plus McDermott. Then it's a toss-up between McConnell, Holiday, and the other Holiday, right? So 2 of those will play, and then 1 will be kind of on the outside looking in, playing when guys are hurt or whatnot, right? Well, I want to make one quick argument, and this is really just kind of to amuse myself and to kind of play it out. But I think there's a case that maybe McDermott should not be that guarantee either. Now, let's start there. Let's not get this wrong. McDermott's having a fantastic season. We're talking about like career season of McDermott, right? Shooting 44% from the 3-point line, 47% from the field, 9.5 points, an effective field goal percentage at 5'8". I mean, we're talking about the best season of his career by far. I mean, playing more minutes than he's played really since, I think, the 2016-17 season, taking more shots than since his second season, making them at a much higher rate. I mean, he is having a great year. I mean, even look at his per 36, they're all career highs. He's having a fantastic year, don't get me wrong, but like, it can't be understated, too, how well Justin Holiday is playing, too. Now, Holiday isn't really having a career high in points and all stuff, but a career high 3-point percentage right now, like way ahead. The goal percentage is not a career high, but he's taking most of his shots from three, right? And defensively, Justin Holiday is, I think we all agree, the much, much better defensive player, right, over Doug McDermott, right? So I almost want to do this. Let's do the last 10 games of both guys. And I know it's isolated, and so, you know, the season stats probably tell the story a little bit better. But real fast. So Justin Holiday's last 10 games, we can look at it. He's averaging 8.3 points on 43-45. That's 45% from three. 87.5% shooting, right? Actually, he has a negative plus minus. But I guess on the bench, the idea is you just want to end up at neutral, right? So Doug McDermott, his last 10 games, 45-36 and 1,000% or 100%, sorry, from the free throw line, right? For 9.5 points per game. So Holiday, about a point and a quarter less, but about an 8% better three-point percentage, but a 3 points less field goal percentage than McDermott. And McDermott, he's made all his free throws. I think there's a case. I mean, if these 10 games are an indication of what we're getting the rest of the year, you make a case that Holiday should play more minutes than McDermott and be in the rotation of him, right? If you think the ideal rotation, like I do, is Lamb at the three, Aaron Holiday at the two, McConnell at the one, and then one of those guys at the four with Sabonis playing bench minutes, there's a case you can make for Justin Holiday. One, his defense is better. He's more versatile. He can play any of those two through four. So you can kind of play, you can mix and match those guys with really anybody. But McDermott really only can play three or four. And in a lineup, can't really play a lot of two. But you can't guard the twos. Holiday can guard any two through fours too. And Holiday, so let's look at score two. On three-point attempts, Holiday taking actually more three-point attempts per game. 4.9 to 4.7 and shooting better on them. Now, these 10 games are probably not an indication of anything, right? So that's a bit of it. Not an indication of how the rest of the year will go, right? You took McDermott's season stats because he was shooting so throughout the year. He probably is going to get back into the 40% some point of the another 10 games. We're trying to do this maybe in a month, right? But there is a weird case where maybe Justin Holiday should be getting more minutes over McDermott if they decide to cut one of the two from the rotation, right? I think at the end of the day, McDermott has the gravitas, the respect in a, like this weird way where I don't know if I would call it like institutional respect or whatnot, I don't know where to put it, but like because of his like 3-point shooting in his college career, I think teams just see him as a 3-point like threat and respect him when he has the ball. He's just an elite scorer. For Justin Holiday, I don't think teams see him as. I think they see him as maybe a guy who's streaky right now, a decent defender, but a fringe NBA player, right? So Justin Holiday is on a room exception deal, which means it's like kind of like if he didn't perform, he'd be out of the league. Now, certainly he's going to be in the league. He's earned himself probably at least 3 or 4 more years in the league just the way he's played defensively, the way he's fit into a team that, you know, just being kind of like really good glue guy to everything and being a really good shooter right now. So I don't want to say he's going to be out of the league anymore because he's definitely past that point and really getting a lot more than you expected from him. But there is a weird case where if you just look at the raw numbers, how he's been better the last 10 games, and if that is any indication of the next, what do we have left, 43 games, 44 games, then maybe, just maybe you want to bump McDermott at the fourth spot and put Holiday there. I don't think it's going to happen. If I was to give a real take real fast, I think the rotation ends up being shrunk either. I think they dump McConnell ultimately somehow, or I think they dump just Justin Holiday, to be honest. I think there's probably a switch of the Holiday brothers depending on who's playing better and what they feel. I think you're going to be really hard-pressed to not play Aaron Holiday because his ceiling is so high. Or Justin Holiday is certainly good, but his ceiling is nowhere near what Aaron Holiday's can be. And if Aaron Holiday can be at his ceiling in a playoff series, that's what can win you against a better team, right? So if they're the 5 seed in a 4-5 matchup against Philly, and Aaron Holiday playing awesome can be the difference between winning and losing that series, versus I'm not sure Justin Holiday can ever be good enough to just like win a game or two in a series. Just thought, but neither's McDermott, so let's be real there. Either McDermott, both those guys are really good glue guys, I would call them Swiss Army knives, where they come in and they can do something really well or do a couple things really well. But they're not like, there's no like, Aaron Holiday has this ceiling where like he could be like the sixth man for an entire playoff series and score 19 a game and have 8 assists and just be like this dominant player. Neither McDermott or Holiday's going to be there. They're more reliant on other guys, but whatever. And that's why I think you have to keep playing Aaron Holiday, in my opinion. That's why I feel like it's going to end up being Justin Holiday or McConnell out of the rotation. And we'll see what McMillan do this. It's not an easy choice. He might try to go 10, but I feel like you really want to still stagger Sabonis and Turner because that's when they're most effective, actually, is getting some of those minutes. You know, letting Sabonis be on the court alone so he can score 8-10 points and have 7 rebounds by himself. Like, you need that too. So we'll see what McMillan does. Like I said, it will not be an easy choice. I'm glad I don't have to make it. We will certainly be talking about it probably over the next 2 weeks in the Locked On Pacers podcast. And then once it happens, we'll be dissecting what the rotation is now and whatnot. But I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts again on what you think of the rotation. You can tweet at Locked On Pacers, me at FreeMadam5, my co-host Tone East at TEastNBA. He will bring you tomorrow's podcast, which is a preview of the first T-Wolves game. I'll bring you the post show on Wednesday, and he'll have another preview. And then, I'm sorry, off the post show on Thursday, he'll bring you another preview on Friday, and then we will do it all again next week. That's all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, we'll see you guys again tomorrow.